All right, let's kick into our teaching for this evening. We'll continue what we have been discussing. Our subject has been the work of Christ. And don't forget what I have been saying. I can't say it enough. Christianity is grace. Christianity is what?
Grace.
It's what?
Grace.
What is grace? Grace is when God does things for you and you walk into the result of what he has done. Grace is when you press a switch and the power is turned on. Grace is everything that Jesus accomplished for you on the cross of Calvary, which was shown to be complete by his resurrection. Grace is the power of God that is manifested towards those who believe. Grace is when things are done not by your power, not by your might, but by his spirit. Grace is when your life moves in such a manner that God takes all the glory. Grace is when your past, your behind, you know, the things behind you, don't determine what your future will be. Grace is when, no matter what, where you are from, who your parents are, who you know or who you don't know, when there is no cap to what you can be in life, that is what grace is. Grace is what you become because of the working of God, not because of your own striving. Grace is what comes out of your life because of what you believe. That's what grace is. People often describe grace as unmerited favor. Yes, it's true that you don't merit grace. It's not because of what you have done. No, that's not, of course, it is true that is not because of what you have done. What you have done is not the reason why things are going to happen in your life. But they make it look as if there is nothing you do to make grace happen. No, there is something you do to make grace happen. And that is called faith. He said it has to be by faith that it might be in accordance with grace. What that means, therefore, is that you pay your price in believing. You don't pay your price in doing. You pay your price in what?
Believing.
In what?
Believing.
In believing. That is when you make the effort. Grace is not just I sit at home and things happen. It may appear like that, but that's not what it is. Grace is that I put my efforts in the right places. Paul said it like this, labor to enter into his rest. That is, to enter into his rest is a laboring affair. You understand? You have to put in a lot of energy. You have to labor. You know, I got a message from one of our friends today. He just told me that he was listening to one of our messages. And I said, truth must be pursued. That is, you must work hard to get into truth. You don't just sit down and truth comes upon you. You must go out to seek it. You must go out to try to learn it. Sometimes somebody tells me that that book is voluminous, so I didn't read it. And I'm surprised. You understand? People say, that thing you were saying, I couldn't understand it, so I stopped reading. And I'm shocked. You get my point? I mean, you should seek to know what I'm talking about. You should seek to understand. You know, sometimes you disagree, you know, because, of course, many of you know me very well. There's many things that are very popular, which I don't believe. All right? And a lot of times, I present those things to people. And they rather just draw back. Instead of reasoning and thinking about it, they rather just simply draw back and let things remain the way they are. Let me say this to you again. God does not owe you a blessing because you are ignorant. You must understand that. What he owes you is correction if he loves you. Remember the story of Abimelech when he took Abraham's wife. He said to God himself that you know the kind of man of integrity that I am. I thought the man was his sister and I wanted to marry her. So what's the big deal? In their culture, then it was all right. And God said, I know too. That is why I have come in a dream to correct you. Meanwhile, by that time, all right, problems had begun in the home. Calamity has set upon the whole family because of ignorance. You are getting my point. There was already trouble inside the house. But God says simply, what I owe you because of your integrity is to correct you. I'm never going to bless your ignorance. I may overlook what you don't know and do the best I can for you, but I won't bless that ignorance. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. The blessing I give to ignorant people is information. Cornelius was a man who wanted to know God. So he was striving and striving. He was always praying. He was always giving alms. And that resounded in heaven. But did God bless his almsgiving? No. Did he bless all the prayers? No. He said, listen, the way to blessing is called Jesus Christ, and you don't know him. So he sent him an angel. And the angel told him, oh boy, this one you are doing, we see your heart is good. But there's no forgiveness of sin here. Are you getting my point? Your curses will not be removed because of all these alms you are giving and all these prayers you are praying. He said, what must I do to be saved? He said, therefore, send for Peter. I've gotten him ready. Once you talk to him, he will come and tell you the way of salvation. Cornelius was ignorant. All right? But that ignorance was not blessing him. But God saw his heart, so God sent him information. Therefore, grace, all right? That's how it works. You must strive to know the truth. You can't just say, because this is what you have been taught, that if you need something, you give towards it. And you have given for the last 10 years. So you don't want to accept that you have been walking around in 10 years. And that's what the Bishop Oyedepo said once I was listening to him. He said that God said to him that no matter how long you have traveled on the right, on the wrong road, when you discover the truth, you turn back. Are you getting my point? That is, you can't say because, okay, you are trying to get down to Lagos and you've been driving for the last 4 hours. But when you start the journey, you turn this other way. So you're about to get to Port Harcourt now. And I said, no, this is not the road to Lagos. And Port Harcourt said, we're already driving for 3 hours. Let's just continue driving. Would that turn Port Harcourt to Lagos? It happened to some of my friends. The time when my father passed on, they came for the funeral. The only man that knew the road, the man who was driving did not know the way. The others who knew the road, they fell asleep on their way back. When they got to Benin, they were coming from a war. When they got to Benin, you know, entered the bypass, instead of dropping at the proper place and joining the Onitsha Road, they dropped at the one going to Warri. They had reached Warri before the other people woke up. Somebody else woke up and looked and said, look, come on, this place is looking funny. He said, did you turn the right? They said, no, I didn't. I turned at the particular. I said, no, we're almost in Warri. They said, okay, we have already gone so far. Let's just go enter Warri. They turned back. No matter how long you have spent practicing that which is not right, when truth comes, when the word comes to challenge that which you thought you knew already, take it to God in prayer. Settle down and search. I found out something. Very few people, all right, who disagree with some of the things I say. None, not very few, none has ever been able to take the Bible and show me where I'm wrong. They rather tell me that you tell me that this big man of God is wrong. That's the kind of arguments I get. They want to tell me testimonies. Take the scriptures. Let's reason together with it. What I'm going to explain. If you want grace, all right, to come out of your life, to be manifested in your endeavors, what you do is you put your energy in getting to know the truth. I said something, you know, I've been saying it again and again over the last few weeks, I've been teaching on this subject. I'm not telling you to go and do anything with the things I'm saying. I'm saying just settle down and let the words enter into you. It's filling you with the air of the Spirit. It's blowing you up. Then very soon you'll begin to float. Are you getting my point? Very soon you'll begin to rise to the place that God wants you to get to in this life. What is grace? Grace is when my life moves according to God's order, when I put my energy into seeking the truth. That's what grace is. Grace is the life of Jacob, that even though I may not be as strong as my brother Esau, if I understand that the blessing is what matters, and I fight for it with all my heart, I will become a great nation. That's what grace is. Are you getting my point? So Christianity is a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
It's a life of what?
Grace.
That is, don't get up any day striving to go out about your business without having the truth inside your heart. I mean, you can't be running your life the way your father ran his own. Your mother ran her own like that. All your friends have gone one way. Look at them. You'll get to precisely where they go to. If that's not what you want, then you have to know something different. Not just, you know, people say that you do something different. You can do another thing that is wrong. You think the way your father lived is the only way that's wrong? There are many other wrong ways. No, it's very crucial you understand that. There are many other wrong ways. What you must do is to settle down. God, let me just sit down there for a moment. As a Christian, let me just say something to you quickly. Don't forget what you learned in elementary physics and chemistry. The natural order of things is disorder. That is, you are bound to fail in life unless you put order. If you start a business, the normal thing is that you should fail. That's how life is. Grace is the power of God that makes it succeed. Are you getting my point? Now, we are saying that you must ensure that that grace comes into whatever you are doing. Comes into your life, comes into your marriage, comes into your business, comes into your career. The only way that will happen is when you settle down and say, wait, how does grace flow into this one? That is, I must settle down. Don't just start doing business the way everybody has been doing it. I must settle down and ask the question first. How will I do my own thing that grace will flow into it? That is, truth must be first. I must learn the word of God. That is why anything you want to do in life, you know, I always tell people that you're starting a business. As if you want to start selling a bread, as an example, or anything, jam, peanut butter, you know, opa, anything. There are many people doing it right now before you started. You know what I'm saying? Many people are already doing it. So ask yourself a simple question. Why should the people that were buying from other places come to my own place to buy? Very important. Until you have an answer to that question, don't start. Until you have an, I don't mean the kind of answer like, hey, because I'm a child of God. Listen, your customers don't know. And they are not aware. Your being a child of God is your personal matter. Are you getting me? It's between you and your God, who you are his child. I'm talking about your customers. I mean, when this big shopping mall opened in town here, they kept on advertising low prices. Low prices. And we know their prices are not lower than the Ogbete market. We know now. Are they lower?
No.
But why do we go there? See the parking space? Are you getting me? You see the beautiful place? Everywhere is air conditioned. There's no uzo, 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 uzo as you are moving inside the market. Have you entered into Ogbete before? I mean, those boys, they will jam you. You know? I mean, I've entered those places, you know, I've not gone there in a long time, really, apart from once I went to buy books. I used to get angry. Why can't I? But after a while, I said, no point getting angry. It's better than stealing. Yes. It's better than joining gangs. The boys are in the market. They are very rough. Uzo, uzo. Are they like carrying your hands? I just have mentioned, when they say uzo, uzo, I give them all the uzo available. Please, uzo. But when you enter into those joints, there's no uzo, 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 uzo. You're welcome, sir. You know, you go there. Ding, 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 ding. They give you your receipt. You put your things in your cart. You roll it out into the parking lot and leave it there. Somebody comes to collect it. For that reason, you keep going back there. Everything is well displayed. There's nothing like, talk loud, now let me hear you. You know those guys? You've been to some shops. When they talk to you, you wonder, look, look, look. Did I come here to steal or I came here to buy? So anytime you want to go into your own field, whatever it is, that's just an illustration, all right? You must always settle down. It's that settling down part I'm talking about. That there is a way by which I will walk, and grace will follow the thing I'm doing. And until you discover that, don't start. Don't start. My wife was asking the other day, something led to it, you know, about if you did ministry like this all the years and nothing, that is nothing to show for it, you know, the word is not being published, you're just there on one spot. I said, wait, I will close it and go and ask God, what am I doing wrong? There has to be. Because grace is my portion. Are you getting my point? So if it's not flowing, I must say, where have I truncated the flow of that grace? Please, I'm emphasizing to us again that truth is very important for us Christians. And over the last few weeks, let's now connect back with our teaching for this season, all right? The work of Christ. Over the last few weeks, I've been explaining to us again that grace was bought. It's not free. It was bought for us by the blood of Jesus Christ. That our problems were, you know, they were wiped away by payment. Not just, okay, I've forgotten your troubles. No. Somebody paid to have them corrected. And I've been emphasizing, because it's very common in today's Christianity for people to pretend as if Jesus didn't do much for them. So I have been emphasizing that Jesus actually did a lot. That is, the so-called ancestral problems, they were tackled by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. We have been saying that. We have been explaining that the power of God was made available because Jesus came to repair the way, are you getting me, that Adam and then all human beings afterwards broke down by their sins. That Jesus literally is the Lamb of God that took away the sins of the whole world. It took away your sin, it took away my sin. We have explained that all the problems that sin produced, all right, in Christ Jesus, all right, they have been removed. And what we need to know is that fact. If we know it, then our lives eventually conform with that truth that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Very, very important. Let's ever forget it. Now, where we stopped last time, let me just pick up from there, all right? Is that Jesus, after he died, let's quickly read this again so as to connect with it. The book of Isaiah chapter 53, quickly get back there. I will jump down towards the end now because we have read it many times and I want to save some time today. Let me see whether we can complete this whole series today or next time. Verse 10, it says, the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief, talking about the sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb of God, Jesus Christ. He said, if he will render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand. He said, as a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, which is my servant, will justify the many, that is you and I, as he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, verse 12 says, therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many, and interceded for the transgressors. What he said is simple here, that is, all the things that Jesus did, we said last time, as a result of that, God gave him something. In fact, the summary of everything is in that name, Jesus Christ. That is in the name of Jesus. Now, it's not just the sound of the name, but when you talk about name, it represents a lot of things. It represents his personality, represents his character, represents his current rank, it represents his position in the heavenlies. That's what the name means. And quickly, let's go also to the book of Philippians chapter 2. We read that last time also. From verse 5, he said, Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bond servant. He said, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Verse 9 says, for this reason also, when we read from the portion of Isaiah in chapter 53, it says, therefore, this one says, for this reason, the same thing, for this reason also, God highly exalted him. That is, God said, I will give him a portion with the great. Paul said, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That was what God gave to him as a result of the work that he did. As a result of the fact that he humbled himself to the point of death. That he gave himself, like Isaiah said, he bore the sin of many people. Alright? He paid for their forgiveness. Because of all of those things, the Father who had life in himself gave life to him also after he died. And for that reason, he rose again from the dead. And as a result of those things that he did, God gave him an abundance of blessings. The summary of everything is in the name that God gave to him. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And he said that at the mention of that name, every knee will bow. Now, I said something last time. Let me just quickly repeat it. After Jesus got all of these things, let's use the expression, the spoils of war. He did not keep those things to himself. What he did was to immediately turn around and hand them over, all right, to the people that believed in him. That is, he did not win that victory for himself. If he defeated the devil, now listen to this, very important you follow me now. If he defeated the devil, it was not sin that he defeated the devil. The certificate of defeat of the devil by him was given to him and then he gave it to you. That is, if they are saying, who defeated the devil? You put up your hand and you will say, I did. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. And that's the summary of it. Because we read from Ephesians chapter 1. Let's quickly open there again. Let's just read that. We'll read all these things and then just, we're going to pick up from where we stopped. The book of Ephesians chapter 1. I'll read from verse 15. But because it's long, I'll jump here and I just like to take things in context. So for this reason also, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus which exists amongst you, and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, he was saying. I'm praying, verse 18, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know the hope of his calling, so that you will know the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places. He says, far above all rule. That's the name of Jesus being described. I said the name also implies, part of what the name means is his rank, all right, currently. So this is his rank. He's seated in the heavenly places on the right hand of God the Father. Verse 21 says, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion. And every name that is named, whether it's a disease, it's a cult, it's a problem, whatever, once he has a name, once you name that name, it is inferior to the position of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 22 says, he put all things in subjection under his feet, and then him being head of all things was given to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, quickly just jump down to verse 4 of chapter 2. He said, but God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we're dead in our trespasses or our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ and raised us up with him, verse 6, and seated us with him. Now, that's where I wanted to get to. And seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come, he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in the kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Now, I just want to read verse 10 and I'll stop there. He said, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we will walk in them. Now, let me just quickly explain why I read this. Now, so we're saying that Jesus, after he got all those things, everything he won was given to his body, which is his church. And we see here that he's seated, that's his name, is a rank, seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God. And he said, we are seated with him. I said to us, this is what it means. It means that if the devil sees you, you understand, what he sees is a person, all right? Once you're a believer in Christ Jesus, he sees the person who defeated him by the sacrifice on the cross. He doesn't see a man or a woman trying to struggle to succeed in life. Are you getting my point? What happens is that when they issue the certificate for victory in the battle, that certificate was taken and giving to anyone who believes. And that's why he said, I and the children that the Lord gave to me, we are for signs and for wonders. That is, anything that is ascribable to me is ascribable to any one of those my children. That's what he was saying. That is, it is not seen as if Jesus defeated the devil. Now, get my point. The Bible says he spoiled principalities and powers and made an open show of them. Are you getting my point? And triumphed over them in it. Now, it's not sin that he did that. No. It is sin that you did that. Please, I hope you are getting my point. That is why it is very funny. You know, when a Christian sits down and starts praying about the devil. I don't know whether you're getting my point. It's very funny. Especially when he starts praying about the small workers of the devil, like what they call witches in Addis Ababa, Africa. In fact, they're all over the world anyway. No, it's very funny. Because what is sin? When the sons of Sceva were trying to cast out demons in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, what they didn't understand, it was not just the name. It was the person carrying that name. That is, the demons were not flying out just because they mentioned the name Jesus. Listen, you must understand that the dispensations are different. There was a way it was before Jesus Christ went to the cross and died. The way it is after that is very, very different. Right now, it's not just that somebody is using the name of Jesus to talk and demons are responding. They can't seem to understand who it is that is speaking. So even though they mention the name of Jesus Christ, the demon got really angry and infuriated. Who are you to talk to me like that?
So he beat all of them very well. And they all disappeared. You must understand, in the realm of the spirit, what is seen is that, yes, Jesus conquered the devil. But it's not just him. Anyone who believes also conquered the devil. I hope you are getting my point. That is, when he or she stands, and the devil sees him coming, or the devil is coming and they see the fellow standing, they use another direction. They run away. It is not all these devils, Holy Ghost, fire, the blood, though. It's not necessary. Just walk past. Do you get the point that they make? Why? It is simple. The reason is because the victory of Jesus was not ascribed to him alone. It is ascribed to everyone who believes. That is, on the right hand of God, the power of Christ belongs to them also. It is not seen, they are not seen as people trying to defeat the devil. They are not seen as people trying to overcome sin. They are seen as people that have already defeated the devil and have already overcome sin. Why? That's what Jesus died for. Are you getting my point? That's why the Bible said that we are seated with him. You know, last time I was saying something, that we must develop that seated mentality. You know, you shouldn't think that I've heard it a lot. I've been hearing this thing for over literally more than 20 years. That Islam is going to take over the world. Let me tell you something. Before that, I heard that communism was going to take over the world. Where's communism? Communism remains now only in not China. I forget, the one in China is not communism. It's some people in power, retaining power. I think is it North Korea and Cuba. Those are the area, even Cuba, you know, Cuba is tired. And the only reason why North Korea is still trying to pretend is because China just simply just stay there and be pretending. Because if you guys relax now, you will join with South Korea and you'll now be an American ally at our doorsteps. And we don't want that. The point is this. What happened to communism? They got tired. The power of Christ wore them out. Please, you must understand that. Then after they went down, somebody else rose and people are now afraid. Let me tell you something. I like what Miles Monroe said. He said, read the end of the story and you won't find them there. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. You must understand that. A believer in Christ Jesus must have a winner's mentality. You say, but I've had problems. I keep on saying that having problems is like a child. Don't eat. I can't get up from here. My mother has to carry me to where there's food. You see, this child has problems. Let me ask you, is that true? No, answer me now. A child. I mean, this child is just 6 months old. We are going to take food. You are a human being too. He said, no, my mother has to take me to where there's food. He said, oh, this child has problems. The child doesn't have problems. The child is what? A child. The fact that somebody has to make the food and bring to the child is not a sign that the child has problems. It's a sign that this child is still growing. Please get what I'm not saying. Listen. He said, last year, before I was able to pay that rent, before I was able to buy those books, I really struggled. So, it just means you are 6 months old. I don't know whether you are getting what I'm not explaining. It just means what? You are still a child. It doesn't mean you are a failure in life. It doesn't mean you are not seated with Christ in heavenly places. It doesn't mean it. A brother came to me once and said, I don't feel blessed at all. I said, what's the problem? He said, the last three projects I started, they all failed. I said, so? You have four more to start to fail. Out of seven, three has failed. Start the next four quickly. So they can fail quickly and the righteous man can fall seven times. And then the Lord can now finally raise him up. Listen. You know, what I'm trying to get people to understand is the mentality. You are traveling on the road, your tire failed, and you are stranded. And we say, some people don't want me to succeed. That's why my tire is going down. I have had tires fall at strange times on the road. The only God is my witness. I'm not lying to you. The only interpretation I've ever given it is that God says, go back home. Or God says, no, if you move now, you'll get there too early. I don't know whether you get my point. I've never felt the devil can touch my tire. Listen, the devil has respect. That's what you should understand. There's no spiritual person that does not understand authority. The devil doesn't touch my tire. The only person that's ever licked my tire in life is an angel. I'm not lying to you. I'm not joking about it. Some people, their tire will go down. All these devils that say I won't succeed. Listen to me. No devil can say I won't succeed. You know why? Because all the victory that Jesus won has been credited to my account. So the devil doesn't even think about saying I won't succeed. The only thing he tries to do is to try and talk to me and say, do you mind coming? Will you agree with me that you will not succeed? It's only if I agree. The power is with me. The power is with you. The power is not with the devil. Your tire goes down, your business fails. Don't stop talking to the devil. Please forget it. He knows whose tire to leak. Some people say it's because he did not tie it, so the devourer is after your tire. Listen, I eat devourers. I don't know how you caught that. Even if that, the devourer will say, he will send an angel, please, oh, if you want to lick his tire, it's between you people in that side. Oh. Me, I know my friends. I know the people I can eat. I go looking for unbelievers or Christians who think they are unbelievers. Listen, because you are seated in heavenly places, that's what they explain, you must have a particular mentality. That, listen, if you have a problem in life, it's between you and the person on whose side you are sitting. It is not between you and the person who you can hardly see from where you are seated. Because the devil has been cast down to the earth, and you are seated in heavenly places. How can it be the cause of your problems? That is why I have never understood why Christians run up and... No, you see people travel to go and collect oil or water to apply on their door so that the devil won't enter. That is not Christianity. What did I say? What did I say? Listen, the blood of Jesus has been shed. Are you getting my point? And that's enough label on my door for the devil to know where to enter and where not to enter. Please, I hope what I'm saying, I know it is entering into you. Christians, who must have that mentality, the seated above mentality, is very important. You must understand that it's not just that Jesus defeated the devil and you are trying to. No, it is that it is taken as if you have defeated the devil. Let me say this again. You can't, it is out of order for a Christian to be afraid at night. Sounds funny. I know before I used to think you don't need to say these things. But I have seen enough to know I should say them. It is out of order for you to be afraid of evil spirits flying at night. It is out of order for a believer to be afraid that they are doing sacrifices somewhere against me and it might work if I am not praying. Listen, if I don't pray, listen to this, it will not happen. Amen? But listen to this. If I refuse to pray for one full year, that is, I said, New Year's resolution. No prayer this year. Now, it will not happen. You know it won't happen. Because it's just part of you. It flows out, all right? But let's assume that kind of crazy thing were to happen. The demons flying at night still won't come near my house. Get that point clear? It's not likely for it to happen. Why should it happen? I enjoy giving God thanks. I enjoy pronouncing the blessing of God upon my children. And I enjoy pronouncing the blessing of God upon this nation. So we always pray. I'm driving. I remember something. I pray about it quickly. I can wake up. Oh, I just remember something. You say a word of prayer. You wake up and remember something. So sometimes nothing like that. Just start giving God thanks. So prayer is part of our lives. But even if I don't do that, there is no evil spirit that's my mate. That we should be contending with each other. Christians don't rise up to fight evil spirits trying to attack. I've told you, the devil, the only thing he has All right? As power against you is temptation. That's all. That is all. And he works hard on that one. All you need to do is resist temptations. You don't get up and start walking. That's why when the world is talking, you don't owe anybody any obligation to agree with him, even if it's your father.
So, I mean, look, this country is just so terrible. I mean, there's nothing left. I mean, the things are just bad. I mean, it's dumb. Nothing, everything is dead, you know.
The other day I was in my office. We were talking about universities in Nigeria. One of my colleagues, junior to me, but also a specialist, a pathologist, he was talking. There are too many universities in Nigeria. I said, no, there are not too many. I said, JAMB currently admits less than 10% of those who do JAMB. I said, there are not too many. I said, what NUC needs to do is to make sure that their standards are maintained. As NUC must do that. Because about 2 weeks ago, they closed about 40 private universities. Yes, shut them down, which was very, very necessary, all right? They don't just be deceiving young people who don't know anybody to advise them. So we're talking about that. I said, that's good, they should do that. Not only did they do that, they are arresting the proprietors because it's fraud. A lot of it was just fraud. So EFC is after some people, all right? Now, so we're just talking about it. I said, they should just maintain the standards. And anyway, we got somewhere and said, after they graduate, Inko, where are all the jobs waiting for them to take? I said, number one, universities were not created so that you'll be employed. They were created so that you'll be educated. Let me say that again for those who do not know. You know, you have to keep teaching everything. You are not going to school so that you'll be employed. You are going to school so you will not be stupid. That's all. Now, I told him, I said, number one, your certificate, your schooling, you go to university, you go to a polytechnic, you go to a higher institution of any sort, it's not so that you can get a job. It's so that you'll be educated. Then, I know he was there. I now began to list for him people I know who went to school, got a degree, and they're not looking for a job. I was listing one after I mentioned like three or four. I told them what people are doing and how each one of them is employing people. He was looking at me. I said, I'm happy that in Nigeria universities now, I think in secondary school, they started teaching entrepreneurship. Yeah. Now listen, let's stop producing people who come out from school and they think that the government owes them creation of companies so that they can queue up and get a job. Is that nonsense? What did I call it? I said to him, I said, listen, let the schools be there. Maintain the standards. All right? What government owes people is a bit of scholarship here and help there so that everybody can go to those schools. And after that, create an enabling environment for people to... Look, federal government should privatize even federal government if they could. If it was possible to privatize federal government, I would agree. You'll be shocked at how a privatized Nigerian police will appear like. You don't know. I'm digressing from, let me not sit there too much. Now, why did I go into that? I told that man that day, listen, we are winners. Now, let me now adapt to our message today, all right? That people, I'm talking about having a seated mentality. Do you understand? Having a victor's mentality. That no, we are not being educated so we want to go and queue up so that somebody can hand out jobs to us. That we are winners. God has created us, all right, blessed us so that we can sit. I mean, we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. And from that place, we create jobs. We don't wait for people to employ us. As for us believers, every employment is for two things. One, learning. Two, blessing. That is, we want to bless somebody. I want to keep learning in life. We are never, listen, as Christians, because we have this seated mentality, that's what I'm going to explain. We don't come and say, government hasn't provided jobs. It is not government's business to provide jobs. It is my business to provide jobs. It is your business to provide jobs. As long as you are standing there and say that government has not provided a job, poverty will stay with you for a very long time. But if you look and say, ah, this is my life. By now, I should be blessing somebody. Okay? I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Ah, by now, I should be blessing somebody. I like when I see young men saying that, ah, this is what I would like to do. I need like 3 people that can work with me on this. I don't have too much money to pay, but if they can do this, do that, they will be able to end this, and that. I'm talking about a seated mentality. You are getting what I'm saying? A winner's mentality, a victor's mentality. That is what Christians are. When you say you are the light of the world, it means you are the one that will solve the problems. I don't know whether you heard that. Listen, let me tell you something. In case you do not know it, you know, because I work in a federal parastatal, so the other day I was talking with my CMD and our director of finance, we were talking about how government is cutting back now. I just have the information I want to give you. Don't worry. They are not planning to employ more people just for employment's sake. The amount of money they give to the parastatals, they are reducing it every day. My CMD was saying the other day that he has not been able to employ some people because he doesn't have money. That every day, they trim off, you know, Okonjo-Iweala, you know. The woman is always, she asks us somewhere, you are spending too much money, cut small off. That this overhead is too much. That they should have enough money to do roads and things like that. So if you are waiting for federal government to employ, better forget it too. So, but the point I'm making is this, for people who are seated above, it's not bad news. Is that bad news? No, it's not bad news. It's not bad news. I feel like prophesying into your life again. Listen, this is your destiny. This is what you'll be like. You'll be an employer of labor.
Amen.
There are people sitting down here listening to me. Your wage bill, that is not wage bill, the number of people that they will be paying monthly will be at least 10,000. At least 10,000.
Amen.
I said at least. Oh, I didn't say 10,000. I said what?
At least.
It can be 100,000. That's why you see, you can't die. You know, you can't die. You can't. You can't. You know why I won't let you die? It's too expensive. If a man that's killed off for a job dies, he will find somebody else to replace him. Is that not so? But if a woman, a man that's supposed to employ 10,000 people dies, it's not easy to replace him. People like that don't grow on trees. It takes time to build them with the word of God, training and everything. And eventually you get a job, it's good. But realize your job is a learning process. If you are somewhere you are not learning anything, go away. You are just in one particular, all you are doing is doing a routine every day. Nothing is changing. Exactly what you were doing 4 years ago is what you are still doing till today. I don't care how much they are paying you. Start looking for a way out. Because one day they are going to fire you and you'll be totally useless. Anything you are doing, you are not improving your skill, ability to deliver greater results. Please, it's not the will of God. Every believer must understand that. See, now, I don't know, I think the Holy Spirit wants us to talk about this because I don't even know how I switched into this. You know, it happens once in a while. And like Israel and I were saying yesterday, I've learned to just leave it like that. Yes, you know, I won't force myself back with the main thing I was saying. I've now digressed, diverted, tangented myself off from what I was saying. You know, we're talking about being seated with Christ. All right? But this is part of seated mentality. All right? So let me just, but I just feel so strong about it. Let me just sit down there. All right? Those who are seated, all right? As a Christian, that's our mentality. We are not disadvantaged because somebody is no longer employing. That's what I'm trying to explain. And anything you are doing in life, you must ensure that you are learning. You are improving. Not just that you are getting well paid. No, no. But that you are constantly learning. You are becoming a better person at being a blessing to people. You should never be afraid of being fired as a Christian. Never. You should never be afraid. Your own is that, look, I live here. Yes, I go somewhere else. To start deploying my abilities to bless people. Get my point? When I watched on TV that unemployment is this particular level, I don't understand. Listen, are you saying that you don't have I hope you know that unemployment is a problem in itself to solve, and the so-called unemployed people can solve it. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Yeah. Yes. At least there's already a job, just identifying the fact that there's unemployment. I was thinking to myself, I said, are they saying that there are no longer needs in the society to be met? I'll tell you the basic thing. The basic thing is that everybody has an entitlement mentality. And they're always pointing at government. Now, I've always said, who is government? Because since I was born, at least I was growing up as a child in 79 to know when Shagari took over government. I was there when the next election happened. I was watching. I still remember the very day Idi Agbon and Buhari kicked him out of office. I know how Nigerians rejoiced when Babangida kicked them out of office. I was there when Gideon Okah and Co. tried to kick Babangida out of office. That I was in university. I knew when Babangida stepped aside, the National Council was there temporarily. Then I was watching when the generals came and told the man to move away. We're watching as Abacha dissolved the democratic institutions that... Now, what am I going to say in all of these things? Governments have been coming and going. So who is government? You know, I've been trying to... You know, who is government? I have friends who are in government and they are still saying government. No, I don't understand. The other day I was with my CMD, you know, because of some things happening. So we're having meetings. And he pointed out an issue that, look, that listen. Okay, well, something led to it. The panel that came to accredit our departments, they had a meeting with management afterwards. So they were trying to explain some things that were lacking and how this management should try and solve it. So when they finished, CMD, well, he was writing, as we were talking, he was writing. He's the big boss, the guy at the top in that place. So, at the end of the day, he thanked them very well for everything they had written, they had said. And that turned to those of us who are heads of departments. And it was daring us to show one thing here that we individually couldn't solve if we wanted to solve it. I felt I said, okay, I didn't send them to you. They should have just told me those things. I would have just executed them myself. That they're just giving you a report. But of course, we're not arguing. They're just listening. So he pointed at the fact that, look, everybody is pointing at him. Do they know the number of problems he has to solve? That, listen, we are the government in the department. That's what I'm going to say that is. You heads of department, you are the government. Actually, I picked something from that thing he said that day. That, listen, you guys are the government in that place. And don't wait for me. I'm not coming to solve your problems. Now, he now said something. He said, the only thing is that a lot of people try. And then they meet a lot of resistance. And then they stop. So he begged us that no matter how much resistance you meet, don't stop. Eventually, you will win. What I'm going to say, that essentially, as you see me so, I'm government in UNTH. There is a place where I am the government. And, no, and it's not a lie. I found out that I actually drill my own crude oil, sell it. We're not really, we don't drill like that, but we make money in my department. And I have the powers to spend the money. And they will sit down and be pointing at one government. Hey, this my message has left the main thing today, but let's just continue. I think many of you came here today with government problems. And as a preacher of the word of God, I have to solve it with the word of God. I come to tell you today, you are the government. Tell your neighbor, you. I mean seriously, tell your neighbor. I don't mean just, yeah. I mean, you. You are the government. You are a government somewhere. That's a matter of fact. You are a government somewhere. And in this country, all of us are the government. All of us are the government. I pray we understand that thing and live by it, especially as Christians. We must never be thinking like victims. Be thinking like victims. No. We are not allowed, because this is where my message began from. We are seated with Christ. That's where I began my message from. And we must have that seated above mentality. There are many problems in this life that you are the only one that can solve it. Let me tell you something. This is how to live life if you want to prosper and live long. Make sure there's a problem you are not being paid to solve that you are solving every day. Did you hear what I said? Let me say it again. Then you repeat it. Make sure there is a problem that you are not being paid to solve, but that you are solving every day. Another side to it. You are working somewhere. There will be a problem that whether you solve it or not, it will not affect your salary. It also qualifies. Like I teach in the university. A few years ago, I made up my mind to do some things. I won't give you details now. It will affect that is my colleagues who are not doing it are earning as much. Some of them earning more, much more than I am earning. But just something I just made up my mind to do. One day the dean asked, how come of all of you, this is the only person pointing at me that's doing this? He didn't know it's an arrangement between me and my God. That this one, I will do. So let me say it again. You want to prosper in life? You want to live long? Make sure every day there is a problem you are not being paid to solve that you are solving. What did I say? Remember, it's I. You are talking to yourself. You are talking to yourself. You know why? Because you are the government. You are a government somewhere. Let me just drop. Hey, God. Hey, Father God, help me to get back to my message. But it looks like today, now, social studies and civics. Today, now, Christian civics. You will live in an environment, a block of flats, a street, a gated community somewhere, something, a yard, anywhere, in which this is the temptation of life. Everybody will refuse to do it. And listen, it's God that's tempting you. Who does is tempting you?
God.
And it's not tempting you with evil. It's tempting you with what? Good. It's giving you the opportunity to do good. I lived somewhere in Transekulu then when our transformer had a serious problem. Now, that transformer served about 5 or 6 streets. And on my street, my house was number either 13, was it 13 or 26? 13, all right. We're on road 26 or something like that, yes. So it served about 5 streets. And on my street, my house was number 13. So at least there were 13 houses on that street. So if there were maybe more. I don't know whether the opposite one was 14 or something. Now imagine there were 13. Multiply 13 by 5. Now, you get a fair number there. Do you understand? Uh-huh. So there are at least 65 houses we are talking about here. And only 2 of us, is it 2 or 3 of us, used to put that problem on our heads. That is, sometimes we come out at night. I invented a word. I asked my wife, is it general or local? That once it's general, there's power failure, we relax. But once you come out, you look this way, and you see power everywhere is lighted on that side, then you know it's our street again. Then, these are the early days of GSM. You will use your GSM at 50 naira a minute to call NEPA and tell them that this is a problem that has occurred in your area. Sometimes they say, don't worry, it's load shedding. Other times they say, no, it's not load shedding, it's a phase failure. So what shall we do? They say, come to our office, come and pick one of our men. And I drive at night from road 26, upper north 5th Avenue, off that side. Drive to Opera Avenue at night to go and pick a NEPA man that will come and fix the thing. You know the way it is. You tip him a bit. And then, as a rule, that's one thing they insist on. You take him back. You won't give him money for taxi. You bring him back to the office. There's another of my colleagues that used to do that who actually taught me this is how we do it. Only he and I and one other person, I think, in all these houses were doing that. After a while, I wondered, like, what is good? Where are the other people? You know, you want to call neighborhood and that lie. Nobody is going to answer you. I also did not know years before that Nepal people were human beings. I thought they were spirits. I don't know where I get the point. I thought it was spirits that used to come and reconnect power if power fails. I didn't know they are actually human beings who would drive there, go there, bring out some equipment, and fix the thing back. That was my own first experience also. But the point I'm talking about is this, all right? The point I'm trying to make in not all the talk is this. After a while, I stopped complaining. I said, this is the assignment that God has given this guy, and me in this community. Let me do it joyfully. Maybe if I can't do it, I will sleep. But when I can do it, I drive down there. It's costing me. But that is how life is. You know why? Because I'm a government too. I'm adding that one to it now. You understand? Because of what? I'm a government too. So I'm just telling you that so that you won't go to your village and be whining and complaining. Where's everybody? There will, listen, there will never be everybody. What did I say? There will never be everybody. There will never be everybody. You are going to be the one, and listen, nobody will tell you thank you. And don't, because of nobody said to me thank you, stop doing that thing that God has given you as the opportunity to be a blessing to many people. Because those who are above, blessings always flow out of them to those who are below. Are you getting my point? Listen, in your environment, I will say this, sounds funny. You see all these nice roads. Very soon, the gutter on one of these nice roads will block close to the entrance to your street. Hear the word of God today. It is your duty to go and clear it. No video cameraman. Don't go and call NTA. We are from the church of the tree down the road. Church of the tree of life. You know the way Christians start behaving like unbelievers. And your name is not Babatunde Joshua. Man of God is clearing the gutter right now. Man of God's spot is dead. You don't need it. What did I say?
You don't need
the publicity. One day I saw one big man of God in Nigeria. I felt very bad because they were insulting him that I went and bought private jet. So next day I saw video cameras saying that they were giving motorbikes, keke napeps, and sewing machine and blending machine, grinding machine, listening to people in the name. They say social responsibility. I said, okay, you put camera on top of him, you don't spoil it. Listen, if I buy a private jet, even you here, I won't explain to you. I will fly my private jet and I won't come and say, praise the Lord. I didn't steal money. See, this is how I got the money to buy it. I won't even tell you. If you don't like it, that I started flying a private jet, it's your problem, not my own. If I have the money and I have the need for it, I will fly it. I will buy it, pay two pilots, pay everybody. That's how to be a blessing. When you don't have private jet, you can never pay a pilot. If you have enough money to do something, better do them so that somebody can be blessed. The other day, something spoiled in my house. My cousin, many of you know him, stay with me. He said, I can fix it. I said, if you keep fixing everything, the man who is a professional, how will he eat? Come on, go and call me a plumber. Which one is I can fix it? Is this your job? You know somebody is trained to be doing this thing. I said, my friend, go and get me a plumber. You're going to tell me I can fix it. Am I telling you I can't pay the plumber? If you can buy a private jet and you need it, buy it. That way you employ two extra pilots. Two girls, fine girls who stop being looking for work. They become air hostesses. Is that also? Flight engineer will have more work. All these young boys graduating from school, they have to repair a plane. You don't know that. The Lord is good. I'm just in a gisting mood today. I don't know what's going on here. I don't know what's going on. I hope you have been blessed here. Yeah. There are different kinds of messages. Today's one is so different. This is civics and social studies. I don't know what's going on. The Lord is good. Now I'm saying, the man of God, everyone has, people are abusing the paper. You know, please, I just want to beg you. Never insult something your heart truly desires. Let me just warn you now. I'm begging you. Some people will never buy a car in their life because they insulted a man that bought a jet. It's a spiritual problem. They create a problem for themselves by sitting down and insulting a man that bought a jet because he won't have a car. You won't. Because the amount of money it takes to buy a car relative to what you have right now is what that man spent to buy a jet relative to what he has. So if you sit down and whining, why is he driving, flying a jet? You say, why should you drive a car? So he said, don't worry. I will buy fine buses in Enugu. Don't worry. If you buy a car, you go jamu. Say, Lord, what shall I do to be saved? Say, go and repent and be baptized. Repent of what? Criticizing those who bought private jets. Did they beg you for money? That's by the way. Christians must learn this above thinking. I'm not planning to buy a jet. You understand my point? Don't think the pastor, what's the plan? I don't have that kind of money. It's quite expensive to buy. Quite very, very expensive to maintain. But there are those who have it and there are those who need it. Alright? And there are those who have it and need it. You know what I'm saying? They have the money and they have the means and they have the need. So they combine the two and it's a blessing of God.
and it makes rich and it does not add sorrow. Now, so they were criticizing this man. Don't ever do that. And then the next thing I saw video camera. Man of God is, I said, listen, we are not TB Joshua. We are true Christians. No TB Joshua needs to continue that his orukuruku. He needs to do those things to deceive the whole world effectively. But those of us who are true believers, we don't need it. What did I say? When we do our good work, we don't need video camera. So there may be a gutter that belongs to all of us in Enugu that's right near the entrance to your street. And all you have been saying before today's message is, you see, this good road, this is the problem with Nigeria. Bad maintenance culture. We don't have a good maintenance culture at all. Now what is wrong with us in Nigeria? And God is looking at you like this. So your digger know they work. I made sure that the people that gave you work said start in 2 months' time so you have enough time to clear this gutter. So those of you I'm speaking to, go back home. Call the friends in your neighborhood. Say, God sent me to you. I'm the prophet of gutter clearing. All of you will follow me. And don't go and look for anybody to video it. Just clear the gutter and be the reason why that road will not spoil. After a while, you know what will happen? You will have created a culture that people in that area, gutters will never block and they won't clear it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because you are a government. You are a government somewhere. Some of you have to volunteer. You know all this sort of abusing. Government schools are very stupid. Government schools are useless. The teachers are not well motivated. Because that's why I gave you a flat near a public school. So you can see the useless schools, the poor motivation. And that's why your job, you don't work on weekends, and you close on time on Wednesdays. So what are you saying? Remember, you're very good in physics and maths. Go to that school. Volunteer. Tell them 2 days a week, Saturday mornings and Wednesday evenings, every student that's interested in math and physics, please come over here. You know why? You are a government. What did I say?
I'm a government.
What did I say?
I'm a government.
What did I say?
I'm a government.
It's very important you understand that. I said this by explaining the fact that we are above people. Blessings flow from us down. Let me get back to my message. I hope you've learned something today from my physics and social studies. You understand my point? No, what did we learn now? Civics, social studies, which one? What else? Moral instruction, government. Yeah, government, a bit of engineering, yes. And how not to criticize private jets. Let me just quickly prophesy to you before I go on. At least 2 people listening to me this evening. At least 2. We need private jets to monitor their businesses.
Amen.
And God will give them the means to buy it.
Amen.
And because they have the right heart, they will combine that need with the means that they have. And they will fly around in private jets.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, heads of nations will fly into Nigeria and they will have to see you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, it does not matter how your beginning was like. I'm telling you things that will happen before your end comes.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let me really drop that one for you. Please, don't go around criticizing people. Start, oh God. We'll get back to my message. Let's continue. Let me give you an assignment. Start interacting with great minds. What do I mean? Spend money on real books. When you see one of our brothers gave me a book the other day, it's titled "The First Billion is the Hardest." I read the book halfway. I called and I said, "Why did you give me this book? I can't see anything inside here." By the time I read the second half of the book, I was learning so much. And I called myself, "Man, now I understand this book." I said, "I'm enjoying what I'm, because I like learning. I like learning." I said, "I'm enjoying what I'm learning from the discussion on the energy industry, the markets and all of that." He said, "Exactly." He said, "Now you and I are singing from the same hymn book." That's what he said. He said, "Because he works in an energy company." He said, "I've learned more." He said, "I learned more from reading that book than I have learned from working here." So somebody said to him, "Why are you reading a book?
you want to be a billionaire? He said, ah, I've never hidden it. I'm going to be a billionaire. You are going to be a billionaire.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What I mean is that, look, don't stop anytime they are showing film. You know, yesterday, my wife annoyed me well. She doesn't know. She doesn't know till now. It's now she's hearing it. Because I was watching Frost. Frost all over the world, yes. So I was watching a Frost interview. He was interviewing Shimon Peres. And trust me, I sit down there. They listen to the whole gist, everything. So my wife was doing homework with my son. And they were disturbing me. So I carried my chair, put it in front of the television. Then when they finished, I switched the channel. They were showing James Bond. And I said I should shift. I got up, I entered the room. She didn't know why I was angry. Why didn't you tell me to shift all this while when I was watching Shimon Peres? What do you want to see in James Bond? I command you today, including my wife too. Next time television is like that, you don't need James Bond. Watch the interview, you know, when they say Davos is on, World Economic Summit. You know, many people now will go and queue when it is El Clasico. All German affair, this last one, in London. Bundesliga. That is, they will leave home, will not come for Bible study. They will, no, I'm telling you, they go and queue to watch match. The match will never make you rich. It raises your blood pressure a bit. It wastes your time, the time you will use in arguing about it tomorrow at work. The arguments I don't get into in Jesus' name. What thing concern me whether Romario beat Bebeto? What's my issue with Messi and what's the other guy?
Ronaldo.
I don't get into the arguments. I know nothing about it. I know nothing about it. People will go and queue. I don't watch it. Bible study, they no go home. Book, they no go read. Walk, they go take excuse. Why? It is El Clasico. I thank God that He gave me a spirit. And that spirit says, even if they play final of UEFA Cup on my center table, I know they watch. I know they watch. I know they try. My spirit, not just they watch. If I sit down there and play, my wife says, I finish frying the egg, I'll go to the kitchen. That is, I won't even notice I'm missing anything. God forbid, I'll be like those men, one man who threw his wife out of the window. Watching match. Then when the match ended, he was looking, honey, where are you? Honey, don't die. Yeah, no, not a joke. This is a skyscraper, what is tall high-rise apartment buildings. This is many years ago. They were watching match. So the woman, they passed in front of the television recklessly. And the guy carried the woman, fling and come off a window. And the woman fell outside. And he did not notice. And he continued watching the match. I said, that will not happen to me. It won't happen to you too, I hope. But I'm bringing an issue here. But this is how great men think. They don't have DSTV. Alright? They don't have their own. But they hear that the World Economic Summit in Davos is starting this particular period. That is when they leave home and go and beg somebody, please, I want to watch C-SPAN. I want to watch Al Jazeera's coverage of it. Hear men talk. Where dollar is leaving and going to. Where euro is moving to. Why is the Japanese yen talking? What happened to the Koreans? Why is Indian economy slowing down in 2013? By how much is the Nigerian economy growing? Why is Africa called the fastest growing continent right now? Why? Should know those things. You're watching matches all these years. Nobody knows you are there. Those boys earn like 20 million naira a week. They don't give you tithe. No offering. You keep making them richer by queuing up. I'm not saying you shouldn't make them richer. I'm just saying you have watched enough matches. Enough home video. Next time you go to the front of a TV, check what is going on in the world. Come on, stop watching films. It's enough. You are going to be a great man, a great woman.
Amen.
When you talk, people should know you're enlightened. You can't go to where one day they want to discuss $50 million business. You are talking El Clasico. They know you don't have, you don't know anything. And you open your mouth to talk. You'll be explaining the deception in storing value in gold. You should be explaining it. How it is better to invest in people. Start giving figures on how if you spend this amount of money deploying this amount of technology, this causes this amount of growth in the economy. Even if now a book you read out. Trust me. When men want to talk, they will call you. Listen. Listen, let me just tell you now. From now, new law. Beyond carrying your Bible to kingdom, you must be informed. What did I say?
You must be informed.
Yes. Sometimes I was talking to my wife, say, how do you know all these things? I said, because I don't watch home video. There was a day she asked me a question. No, we're discussing something. I asked her something. No, that thing, it struck me that day. We're talking about money. Difference between fiat money, you know, gold standard money, different kinds of money. So I still remember where we were that day. She said, wait, let me ask you something. I know this thing you are saying, but I had to go to school to learn it. She started accounting. You understand? She has an MBA. She's worked in a bank before. She said, but you, how come you know it? That was a question she had for me. I said, I don't know. I just read things. And when I read, they stick in my head. We say, ah, okay, you know many things. So, you know the simple reason. I don't watch El Clasico. Some of you, now, if I tell you the last, to give me the last 10 cups that, what is his name? Alex Ferguson. You know his age, where he was born, how long he stayed with Manchester United, and the problems they are going to have now that he's going. And you have not made a naira from it. It's enough. What did I say? Tell your neighbor is enough. I'm not saying you must not watch ball, but everything has its place. Some things are number one. My wife didn't know yesterday. She knew I was angry. All the time I was watching Shimon Peres, she didn't answer me. And I showed James Bond and said, shift. I just got up and entered the room. I went and sat on the bed. I did like this. I said, I don't want to quarrel this night. Let me not talk. You should know, I mean, you should know what's going on in the world. Because you are going to go all over the world. Are you getting my point? That's why you want to buy a book. What are you doing with all these totally fake, that's fiction books? Buy books that enlighten your mind. That let you know what's going on in the world. Even if it's written in such a manner that, you know, there are books that there's a man, I forgot now, he used to write his stories on world affairs. He helps you know what's going on. Is it Tom Clancy? One of those guys. You know, because God has made you. I'll continue my message next time, all right? I don't know how I just swung into this. I came with a message on the answers to the Psalms. That's the kind of thing I will attempt my message for today, the answers to the Psalms. I was going to read, contend with them that are contend with me, how Jesus won the answer to those prayers, and how you are going to read those Psalms from a different perspective. That's the message I came with today. But the Lord has obviously overruled that let my millionaires and my billionaires know what is expected of them. Let them know that they are blessings to their society. Let them know. Some of you are going to control energy, you know, power supply. You should already know by now. You should be reading. Know the advantages and the disadvantages of a coal-fired power station. There's nothing wrong with it anyway. Most of Americans' power still comes from coal. All right? You should know. What is the problem with a, you know, natural gas-fired station? You should be aware of those things. You should be. You should know the proper accounting system to use when you have many truckers running all over the country driving for you. You should be getting aware of those things. You know where Dangote buys his trucks from? How come he's the only one that has those kind of trucks around? You should ask questions. You know, you are going to own trucks too. You know you are going to own trucks. You are going to own trucks. Because of you, God is going to repair the rails in Nigeria. I hope you know. Because your goods must move. They must move. Look, I just feel like prophesying. God will make all grace abound towards you. that you have all sufficiency in all things, and you will abound to every good work. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, as a child of God, you are seated in heavenly places. You should never be afraid of failure in life. What you should be afraid of is not trying. You know the interesting part? Remember the talents, the parables of the talents, of the minas. If you read my own version, when Jesus was telling that story in the book of Luke, there was a man he gave five, there's a man he gave two, there's a man he gave one. You understand that? Then there's another one in which he took 10 and shared, whatever. But the man that had one and did nothing with it, did he lose any part of it? No. You know what he was punished for? For not trying. Did you notice that? He buried it and did nothing. He was punished for not trying. I am sure, absolutely certain, if he had made all the investment, the master came back and he said, "My master, I am so sorry. We did this and did this, but the business did not work. I'm sorry. I lost your mina." The master would have told him, "Well, you can't take charge of many cities. You work with me more for a while." Are you getting my point? Yes, let's work with you again until you learn how to take care of these things. He would not have sent him into the outer darkness. But he did not try. The problem in life is not that you failed. The real problem is that you didn't try. The real problem is that you didn't try. You know, some people tell me that there's no money. You know, I think about it. See, you know our book, Should I Say Yes? You know, people like the book. It sells a lot. I told you Israel before, I said, if we're into just marketing books business, if somebody took 10 of these books and went down to this road, do you understand? And sold 10 in a day, you make 2,000 naira daily. Did you hear what I said? They just say, okay, no work. So these are people like marriage books. So you say, okay, Israel, I beg. Just give me 10. I know they go anywhere. Just down here, naira day. See those boys who are selling books there? Just join us. This is a marriage book. It will change your life. You talk plenty. Before the end of the day, you sell 10. I'm telling you, you make at least 2,000 naira. I'm not kidding about it. But most times, people don't just try. There are many opportunities in life people don't try. I found that at Hagar was crying. God didn't give her water, didn't give her anything. God opened her eyes. And she saw the well of water. The Bible didn't say they just dug it. The point is that her whine and complaint didn't let her see. That's why I preach that message. Open my eyes, O Lord. Go and get it into our collection. It's on the website. Open my eyes, O Lord. That is, there are many opportunities in life to do well. Many opportunities in life to be prosperous. Many opportunities in life to be a blessing to people. But people are so used to whining and complaining and waiting for government. They don't do anything. No, ask yourself, we've discussed it before. I said that some of the young men just didn't end up. I said, "Carry, come up here." Says Rebecca, "Please, sir, give me 10 books. Go down." In fact, the guy won't look for any other job again. And you know, there are students who can do that. Even if it's 20 in a week, just doing plenty talking. Yeah, that's it. You're paying school. I'm telling you, you're eating well in school, buying your handouts, doing everything. And the sweet part of it is years later, you tell the story. That's why I told you, he doesn't dash it. You come to me and say, "Good afternoon, sir. Please, I don't have any money." The man will give you a kick somewhere you don't like. He said, because it's very annoying. Why? Because when he came to Lagos, what he used to do as a young man was to go from one house to the other washing clothes. And by the time the clothes dry, he'll go back ironing them. And he made enough money to solve all his problems. One of the things about being a Christian is that all those pride and problems in life is not your portion. You know, in Christ Jesus, you are not a proud man, you are not a proud woman. God has removed pride from your life. Your pride died in Christ. Amen?
Amen.
And let me tell you something about pride. It's unnecessary. What does it matter now that Fola Adeola used to hawk orange? Does it matter?
No.
Who would you like to hawk orange to if you are guaranteed that at the end of the day? I believe you all know Fola Adeola. The first MD of GT Bank, and the chairman for a long time. What does it matter? He used to hold courage. It doesn't matter anymore. You cannot tell the story. You know, those days we used to hawk orange, yes. At that time it was 6 for 1 pence. You know, the story will not be sweet. Your story will be sweet in Jesus' name.
Amen.
One day you will tell your story at the back of your Learjet.
Amen.
You didn't hear what I said? That is, the reporter will come and say, "Sir, you give us an appointment." He say, "I'm so sorry, I can't stay with you guys now. You and your cameraman. I mean, okay. Is it big, you just call. You call your pilot, Ibrahim." He said, "Ibrahim, we are taking the bigger one." They say, "Yes, okay, we can take this one on board." He said, "Most certainly, sir." "Okay, come on, guys, let's go. I'm going to try with only 3 of my people." "Yes, a bigger one we are taking." "All right, we'll do the interview on the plane."
Amen.
Talking about you.
Amen.
I said, "I'm talking about you." I said, "I'm talking about you."
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That will be your portion.
Amen.
I said, "That will be your portion."
Amen.
Hey, another thing I should add to it, for many of you, those reporters are your own. The TV station is your own now.
Amen.
The newspaper chain is your own.
Amen.
Yes, you are pumping righteousness into the air, not through a church network, but through a normal business network. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Very important. You are seated in heavenly places, so fear is not your portion. You're not afraid. In this life, the only problem you have is you don't try. If you try, listen to me, you will succeed in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The only time the Israelites had a problem was that they refused to enter into the promised land. You know, if they had just entered, you know that's the end of it. The giants are gone. The giants will have disappeared. The problem they had was that they said, "No, we won't enter this promised land. We can't enter." And God said, "That's it, you can't enter." Many people that are supposed to be governors and House of Rep members and local government councillors, they are sitting down and they're saying, "Politics is dirty." Politics is not dirty. What did I say?
Politics is
not
dirty.
What did I say?
Politics is not dirty.
Let me hear it again.
Politics is not dirty.
Louder, please.
Politics is not
dirty. It's men that are dirty. It's evil people that are dirty. I'm not joking about this. If I teach you the word of God and I pray for you and you enter into politics, you can't be dead.
Amen.
You can't be dead. I'm not joking about it. You cannot be dead. They can't anoint you where I will take follow your body. The dead go enjoy you before you can dead him. The day they want to get you to sign a useless document, enter malaria will put you in hospital, you almost die. Now we will come pray for you. God will show us revelation that you know why you are here. At the point of death, you're about to enter into dirty politics. Repent! When you repent, you'll be healed instantly. Just go back there and tell them that God makes rulers. He appoints men into offices. That I don't need you people if God is with me. And when you do that, when you come back, you say, "Oh God, thank you, sir. Politics is not that." And when God puts in office, you won't be like one Barack Obama shouting, "Gay marriage, gay marriage." You will stand for righteousness. And God will be with you. Oh God, next time maybe I should pick up from that. I want to teach that one today. The answer to the Psalms. He said, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies be scattered." There are Psalms that you go in there, you read. And not as a prayer, but as a claimer. You know what I'm saying? You go there and say, "Lord Jesus has received this and it's my portion. Therefore, I declare that God has arisen on my behalf and all my enemies have scattered." He said, "Lord," Jesus said, "contend with those who contend with me." That was a prayer. That Jesus received the answer to that prayer. And therefore, it's your portion. So as you rise, say, "Lord, as I go out today, you are contending with them that try to contend with me. And no weapon in PDP, ANPP, AC, CPC, APC, whatever it is they drink, whether an aspirin or APC, what does it matter? No weapon that is fashioned against me shall prosper." One day you enter your car, you drive out, your escorts will be looking for you. This old guy has gone to work. Why? Because safety is of the Lord. You are so sure that no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Let me tell you, you will be a governor.
Amen.
You'll be a senator.
Amen.
Listen, one day, somebody who I taught the word, no, that's my own. You know, in this life, I didn't come to this life to come and make money or be rich. My pride is that one day I will tell somebody, come, let's go. Say, where are we going? We're going to the government house. Say, just watch. And I get to the gate. Hello? Excellency in? Uh-huh. You have an appointment? Tell him, Pastor Banky. They go, look. What do you say? Tell him, Pastor Banky. The mopo will still be looking like, is this man okay? Somebody says, wait. Welcome, sir. Please sit down here, sir. They will run inside. The next thing they do is that the governor will come out. Well, good afternoon, sir. I said, good. Did I not tell you? I warned you. That's my own. That is my own. I didn't come. At the end of the day, well, not, just watch us. Say, hey, okay, so, Your Excellency. I said, God, you are calling me Excellency. I said, it's your job now. Let's call you like that. So we believe in now. The person will kneel down. You know, they're not going to say, I can't brag. I say, shall be well with you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Bless the person and you go. I know, these are things I'm going to do one day. One day I go reach airport. Listen to me. You know, these are international airports. Either this one or the one for Lagos. Or Abuja, I go reach there. They'll just say, attention please. Flight number 20552 here from maybe Enugu to Kano has been postponed for the next 2 hours. Please, we are sorry for the inconveniences. I just say, when I was supposed to start preaching? This is in 2 hours, sir. That is, that will be late. I say, yes, sir. Are you all carrying my phone? Jesus! Yes, sir. Send one of your planes, please.
Amen.
Just watch. Yes, enjoy here. Just open the door. Only us, maybe I'm here. Just sit down there, fly or say, tell the pilot, greet your guy. Thank you. there are things I'm going to do for the fun of it.
Amen.
No, I'm going to do it in this life in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm going to do it to you in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I've told you before, another one I'm going to do. I'll just stand one day, one car will just go, phew. I said, which car is that? It looks very nice. Says, that is the latest 7 Series BM. In my phone. I'll call two of you. I just saw this car. I like it. I'm traveling next week. I want it to use it for the journey. And you say, thank you, sir. And that's all you are going to tell me. That's all you are going to tell me. You will deliver it number, customized plate number, Pastor B. Even though your beginning be small, I declare it to you in the name of Jesus that your latter end shall greatly increase.
Amen.
You will not die small in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And all of you, your headquarters will be in Nigeria.
Amen.
From here, you will control media all over the world.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, Jesus died so that you will not be normal. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not just be another average person. You will not be another average person looking for a first class to get a good job. Listen, first class people will be begging for your phone number so they can get a job with you.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.